In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swung, hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Varitek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
What can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddies.
Welcome to Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. His name is John Senecal. I am Brian Shackman. This is episode 58. In terms of the agenda, we'll do a little bit about the acquisitions of the Red Sox and relative inactivity of both teams relative to the free agent market. We'll touch on the lockout and how stupid it is. And then we'll have a little bit of a factoid at the end. I mean, arguably... John, first of all, how you doing? You good?
I'm good. That was a very enthusiastic opening, Brian. That's probably one of the more enthusiastic ones I've heard in a long time.
Are you being sarcastic?
No. I'm a little bit sarcastic, but I'm impressed because there's really not much going on other than labor strife. They haven't even really strifed yet.
They haven't strifed. That's for after Christmas, I think.
Christmas strife.
Yeah, that's when the strife will kick in because the players will get paid in the offseason anyway, and this won't really matter until we get into January when we get close to pitchers and catchers. Then we'll figure it out. But I don't even know what they're fighting over, really. So we'll get to that in a minute because, I say that because they spent over $1.5 billion spent.
Crazy money already.
Right. Spent. But the Red Sox and Yankees did next to nothing. And actually, the Red Sox did more than the Yankees.
Yeah.
But there was, think about it. James Paxton, who might not pitch until the end of July. Michael Walker, who's on the back nine of his career, if you want to say it. He's in, the seventh inning stretch of his career. Who knows? We'll talk about seventh inning stretch. Rich Hill, who I love, is, in the ninth inning of his career. And JBJ... you hit .163. So, what are the Red Sox? It's like the Duquette days where you throw a bunch of things at the wall and hope one of the five or two of the five stick. I mean, it's not a joke because they all have potential, but the variables are just a lot.
Yeah, I would have to say that I think Rich Hill's ship has sailed. I mean, I don't think he's going to keep.
I love him though.
I don't think he's going to keep bringing back the magic that he had with the Rays last year. And I mean, he had some with the Red Sox too. I mean, I feel like he's played for the Red Sox three times now.
Yeah, well, this is a factoid for you. He's actually signed with them seven separate times.
Seven separate times.
Yeah.
All right.
He hasn't played for them seven, but in terms of transactions and stuff, he's actually signed with them seven times. He's 42 years old.
That's crazy. I mean, it just goes to show you if you can throw a baseball and you're left-handed. You're going to have a career. I mean, I think that's always been the case in Major League Baseball, especially with lefties. But man, it's 42 crazy. Years old, and he can still get people out. But I'm still trying to figure out the whole JBJ thing. I mean, obviously, I'm guessing the two prospects that came with JBJ are more significant than JBJ because I mean, what are they going to really do with him? The Tiger's not going to change his stripes.
Well, first of all, I think that. The thinking is then they can solve two positions. They'll lose the bat.
Because you think Jaron Duran be their center fielder?
Yeah, but they know he's not ready for prime time, right? So they got to give him more time because they rushed him up to the bigs.
Can he hit .212 in the major leagues?
I just don't. I think he.
JBJ is going to do that.
I think Jaron Duran was outclassed. He needs time. So let me just say they put JBJ, lose the bat, put him in center. You could put Kike at second. But yeah, I mean, Hunter Renfroe had career highs. He had 31 home runs and 96 RBIs, and he led the league in outfield assists. I mean, it's not a fair trade.
And actually, he's cheap too.
He's half the price of JBJ.
Yeah, I'm not understanding that. Something's going on.
Right. So I mean, who knows? Alex Benellis is the guy that they talk about. He's a strong kid, can play both sides of the infield.
How old is he?
He is. I want to say
he's got to be in his low 20s.
He is. I got to check the age. I mean, he's right out of college. He was in rookie. So, I mean, he's right out. So, he's got to be 22.
So, a potential guy.
Well, I mean, he bats .309 between A-ball and rookie league. And he's got a little bit of pop. And they like him. I mean, there's no but. I mean, is he that kind of prospect? And I listen, at face value, people, he's actually, he'll be 22 this spring.
Yeah.
So, I think people like JBJ, but unless Benellis works out, it's totally not worth it. And unless they take this Benellis kid and package him for something else to get a pitcher at the trade deadline, right? This guy comes in.
Are they opening a spot because they got rid of Renfroe? I mean, something's going on. Well, you don't get a Renfro for a 22-year-old guy who bat 300 in the minors and JBJ. I'm sorry. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
I think it was a head scratcher as much as I like JBJ, I think value wise, but maybe Benellis is part of a package, you know, if they're competing to get a pitcher. I mean, who knows? I mean, the bottom line is, and Paxton is coming back from surgery and if he can come back, but if he comes back in late July, does that really even help? But
he'll
the
bottom line just is long enough to beat the Yankees a couple
neither
times.
Neither team made any marquee signings. No. Neither team put forth any real money. Even though JBJ is a waste of money, and I like him, but he's a waste of money. He comes out, he nets at like $15 million. That's nothing like we'll spend on the open market. So my question is it because the two organizations anticipate some sort of massive shock in the labor market? I think with the Red Sox, it's just they're wired differently now, and they're not going to do that. They have to see what they're going to do with Bogarts and Devers, and so they're going to keep their powder dry. As for the Yankees, you tell me. I have no idea what they're doing.
Well, I mean, most of the huge free agents are gone, right? I mean, you have Correa.
Yeah, but they weren't in on them.
Right, none of them, right? You have Correa, Freeman, Bryant, Castellanos. You know, those Schwarber, those are your marquee guys left. Right?
I think so Chris Bryant would be good in New York.
Chris Bryant would be good in New York, yeah, but... I mean, the Yankees re-upped Sanchez, which I don't get it. They're sticking with him again another year, I guess. And he's making like $8 million, I think. And then they re-upped Gio, which is, I get that. I
have no problem with that.
But listen, if the Yankees, like I said before in previous podcasts, if the Yankees were going to make a run at a star free agent, I think it would have been Seager. And obviously, Seager's not on the board anymore. So I'm thinking the Yankees are going to stand pat, maybe try to make a trade somehow and get somebody. I mean, we know they need pitching. Rizzo, I think, is coming back. Freeman, I think, like we said, stays in Atlanta. But
so Rizzo, Stanton, and Judge, they could beat anybody on any night, right? I mean, if those guys are healthy and hitting, they're still vaunted. But I will tell you, if that's what they're putting forward, I think the Yankees will struggle.
Yeah, but I wonder if the Yankees are also planning for what they're going to pay Judge. I mean, seeing what money is out there. Now, granted, Judge is like 2 years older than most of these guys. He's going to be 30, I think. But maybe they're kind of waiting to see how much they're going to have to pay him. I mean, he's not going to be cheap. If these other guys are making $30 million a year... I mean, not Scherzer money, who's making like $200,000 a pitch or whatever he's making. It's crazy.
Which is insane.
But still, like, you know, Aaron Judge is going to get paid regardless. The guy was fourth in the MVP voting this year, right?
Right, but the Yankees, you know, I think that they would be picked for third place in the American League East.
I mean, nothing's changed, right? Other than you're going to get Severino back full strength, hopefully Germán back full strength. I mean,
those aren't difference makers.
If anything, there's more question marks, right? Because there's no Rizzo, there's no first baseman. Voight, who knows what you're going to get? Hicks, who knows what you're going to get?
No, those are all scrap heap names.
That's what I'm saying.
But like, so my point, what do you think they're doing? What do you think is going on? Like, you think they're just saving money? I mean, I thought the Yankees were win all the time, not wait.
I don't know. I mean, the most interesting thing that's happened is, you know, Cashman rappelled down the side of a building like an elf and fought the Grinch. I mean, nothing else. I mean, it's kind of scary in a way, dude. I mean, there's really... Listen, like I said, who were they going to go get, though, that's been out there? Stroman would have been nice as a pitcher, right?
Well, listen, they
you could take a flyer on Syndergaard, which the Angels got. But listen, if they were not going to get Javi Baez, we know that. If you're not going to get Correa, which is still a possibility, I don't
see
it
happening.
Right,
but the thing is that's what their needs were. They need a shortstop and another outfielder.
Baez or Correa, right? There's your shortstop.
Semien would have been awesome.
Right, but obviously they didn't want him.
Right, so that's the point. Why? Like, John, I'm trying to take a stand for crying out loud.
I think they're
going to
stick with the minor league guy, and hopefully that's who they're going to bring up and play. And they're going to move Glaber to short. They're going to do a stopgap.
I mean, that's a bunch of spoonfuls of hot garbage. I mean, you should be furious. This is a joke.
I mean, I think it sucks, dude, but listen, if you missed out on Seager, your alternative right now is Correa.
You never used to miss out on anybody. Like, my point is, like, what the heck is going on?
Just because you didn't hear about it in the paper doesn't mean they weren't offering money to somebody.
Well, then why didn't they come? All of a sudden, the Mets, because of Steve Cohen, they can't get anybody because nobody wants to play there. And then maybe people would rather make $25, $30 million in Texas where no one's going to bother them than come to New York. Maybe people don't want to play in New York.
Well,
I'm just saying, like, let's talk about
the New York Mets just signed Scherzer for $43 million a year.
They probably paid him 30% more than anyone else would pay. Get your head out of the clouds. He would not have made anything close to that with any other team.
Nobody should be making close to that.
But the point is that they overpaid by a huge margin to get him. So they had to do that. The fact that New York has to overpay to get somebody to go there, the Mets are different because of Steve Cohen. And my point to you is, what the hell is going on? And you seem to be fine. Like, let's put Glaber here. Let's put all these guys.
I'm just looking at all, the puzzle that's out there,
they're
Brian.
They're all not the solution.
Obviously, but what do you want me to do? You want me
Not
to call
that. I want
him
you
up
to be
and tell
mad.
Him?
I want you to be angry. I want
Listen,
you to have
I
an
don't
opinion
want Carlos Correa
or a
on the Yankees. I'm not mad because they didn't sign the guy yet. And chances are he's the last one out there, right? For shortstops. They didn't sign Baez. I don't like him. I'm talking about me, right? Not as a Yankee fan.
So Semien would have been nice.
Semien would have been nice. But granted, dude, Semien is older. He's 32 years old.
Boy, can hit.
He can hit. He can hit the last 2 years. Listen, I just hope these other guys don't go to die in Texas, dude, because it seems like Texas swallows people up and chews them up.
A-Rod, yeah. I mean, then they trade him and what have you, but the bottom—
Listen, Corey Seager is not going to play out his contract on that team.
No. No, I agree.
I'm sorry. I'm not that upset the Yankees aren't doling out 10-year contracts to guys for $32 million. Maybe they're going to sit back, like we said before, and lay in the weeds a little bit, sign Judge as their franchise guy, who's a little bit older, scares me. And then wait for these Stanton contracts and stuff to go up. But that's still 4 or 5 years down the road, which is scary. So do you want to wrap yourself into another one of these?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking you.
The Red Sox aren't wrapping themselves into anything either.
No, but there's no surprise. They have Chaim Bloom, who came from Tampa, and you knew what they were doing. Now, I don't like it.
What pisses
I don't
me
love
off
it.
Is they'll say one thing and they won't do it, right? That's what annoys me. Because they'll say, well, we're going to go above the threshold and all that. But they don't know any what the threshold is.
Who's it they? You're talking the Yankees or the Red Sox?
Yeah, well, Hal's going to let us go above the threshold or whatever. Well, then they don't do anything, right? But why is that? I don't know. Maybe because they're standing pat now because of this, but they didn't do anything before December 1st. I don't know.
I love it because the Yankees, to me, are like not very interesting.
I think they're doing what they did last year. They're going to sit back and they're going to hope they get what they have out of these starters and hope Glaber gets his head out of his butt. I don't know, but they need a shortstop.
They need a bona fide shortstop. He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. This is Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports, which brings us to, you know, the lockout. Because maybe the Yankees are trying to, you know, sort of, they're not sure what's going to happen, or maybe they know what's going to happen. I mean, to me,
they got the inside track.
I don't know what the league wants from the, I don't really understand what gets us to this point. So the players want the younger players to make more. They want to get to free agency sooner. They want fewer teams to tank. I mean, like, basically, MLB is like the NFL, whereas you can do nothing and make a profit.
Right.
So it doesn't incentivize. And then, the Houston Astros set the model. They switched ownership. They signed a big TV deal. They tanked.
Yep.
So they were getting huge money from the TV deal. They tanked.
Great prospects.
They drafted wonderfully, which is that they have to deserve credit. They get credit for that.
Yep.
And then they get a window of opportunity to win.
And then they cheated.
Well, they cheated. I think that I look at them like a Barry Bonds career. Like,
listen,
they were good enough.
They did draft good talent.
And they were good enough to win the World Series. They didn't probably need to do that, but they did. But either way, they're competitive, and that's the window.
There's a lot of luck involved.
Other teams are copying now, right? So I understand those grievances, but those don't seem to be insurmountable. So, like, I don't really understand.
Talk about, like, a lottery draft, like the NBA, so the teams that don't finish in the postseason can get, you know, any number. Like, if you finished right outside the door, you might get the number one pick.
Well, how does that change things necessarily? So that makes you not want to be the worst because you can still have a chance to get a top pick if you're not the worst. I mean, those to me are all incremental. I think the lower end players, I mean, to go from a rookie contract of $500,000-$700,000 to $40+ million, I think that is it is kind of gross, in my opinion.
It's a pretty big gap.
Yeah, it's too big a gap. And there are guys, what's the locker room like? And it creates just this, I don't know, the culture of it, I don't really love. There's always going to be disparity from the free agent guy to the entry level guy, but I think the entry level contract in the NBA,
maybe there should be a cap
the NHL
on how much you
higher.
Can make, like, per season.
That would be a salary cap.
Well, maybe not an overall, like a cap just in general per year contract, not a team contract.
I don't think that's
ever. That just seems crazy.
By the way, John, let me just tell you, that's never going to happen.
Well, of course it's never going to happen, but it makes sense. I mean, why do you need to be paid that much money to throw a baseball? I mean, Scherzer's making, like, what, $52,000 a pitch or something?
Well, here's the thing that was brought to my attention. Think about it. The average attendance when baseball is fully open outside of the pandemic is probably, the capacity is probably 50%. Right? The average capacity across all of baseball is probably 50% full. The TV contract's nothing like football. So where is all this money coming from? Like, where's all the money to spend on to give Max Scherzer $200,000 a pitch.
Well, eventually, like, the fans got
to
pay for it.
Well, to
it,
me,
right?
It's a tip of the hat that shows you what they're profiting. And so, like, if you can pay, if you can have, you know, if what Scherzer signed, he signed, who did he sign with again?
3 years with the Mets.
Yeah. So the Mets, probably 40% capacity. If you're selling out 8 to 10 games a season, and you can afford one guy who plays every 5 days to pay him $40 million, what does that mean about what you're making?
I'm making a ton of money,
right? So that to me is not something that you can do some oh woe is me from the.
No.
And their point is that the players want is going to make the game less competitive. I mean, if they could prove that to me, I would accept it. I mean, I'm not on the players' side for a lot of stuff, but I do think like some of these issues, like. Honestly, like, you know, minimum pay and stuff like that, I'm 100% in support of. But they won't drop the top end. So, like, I'm sitting here and people are listening to this podcast being like, it just doesn't make sense to jeopardize the game for the first time in 26 years. These issues don't seem to be big enough.
It seems like they could figure it out. I mean, listen, they're talking about a work lockout, work stoppage and all that. You got time to figure this out.
So I'm going to leave you with one question and try to get your opinion on this, because one thing that I think will come out of it is not necessarily the DH, which I'm against the DH in the NL, but a 14 team, you know, expanding the playoffs. Are you in favor?
I guess it depends on how they do
you're
it.
Like a politician.
How do they do it though? Do they do this one game playoff crap again?
No,
they
give a bye to the
and then
top
team. They have like the top team can pick one of the teams they want to play. I mean, I guess I'd have to see the blueprint. I don't like the one game crap. In baseball, it's, I don't know. I don't like the one game crap, but then you say to yourself, you only deserve one game because you shouldn't be there to begin with, but they shouldn't be playing a team that's that good. So it's like, I don't know. I liked it better when it was like, you got to win the damn thing to get in.
I'm with you.
You got to win the whole shebang. Two teams get in, and then you battle it out. There's four teams.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
there's three divisions now, so maybe you get six teams in.
Okay, so that's never happening.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, what's the next thing? No, we're going to have 18 teams. The next thing you know, it's like the NHL, and this freaking postseason is 2.5 months long.
I'll give you a clear-cut opinion. I hate expanding the playoffs. I think it's just further dilution. And I also agree with you. Like, the fact that a team can win 106 games and have their season be over in 9 innings, I think is not fair.
Right.
But I don't think the solution is adding teams. And I think adding games, I mean, honestly, if you're going to add more games, my desire to go a lot is at its lowest point in a long time, because I'm paying $100 a ticket. And, you know, it's fun. I like to visit with people and hang with my wife or my kid. But, like, the games are less compelling because they're so darn slow. And it's not something I want to do 12 times a year. I want to do it, like, 4.
Right. I'd rather sit at home any given day of the week and watch baseball on TV. Going to a game, especially a major league game, it's too much of a project.
I know, but there's nothing like having a little beer buzz and eating some peanuts and watching
the game. It's fine, but then you go down there, and next thing you know, your team gets spanked by 12 runs, or like the pitcher washes out in the first inning, or, you know, it starts to rain.
There's nothing like paying $250 and your team just lays an egg.
Right.
There should be some sort of refund structure for that.
Refund structure.
Right? I mean, like, if your team underperforms by a certain degree, you get a certain
amount
back.
Game insurance.
I think that they both, the ownership in these teams have just got it so good. And all these professional sports, I just think it's gross that you pay $12 for
a beer. And you're never going to pay less. Your ticket prices aren't going to go down.
Not going down. That's why, honestly, you can show the people watching on YouTube your sweatshirt. That's why, honestly, the minors are way more enjoyable. Watching the game isn't any worse or better.
Yeah, and
even
that's getting expensive.
Yeah, it's
relative to what you pay at a major league game, it's not. But listen, gone are the days you can walk up to a AA baseball game and pay $4. Or $3.
It's true. It's still fun, though. And it still feels it feels more affordable. He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. This is Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. Okay, the Yankees have a hitting coach. You got some details and a nugget.
All right, so listen, I think probably the biggest thing the Yankees have done, so they needed coaching, right? So they still need a first base coach. They hired the Mets' former manager, Rojas, as their third base coach. So they fired Marcus Thames, along with the rest of the guys at Boone's staff. But they hired this guy named Dylan Lawson. So he has been their hitting coordinator in the minors since 2018. He worked with the Astros previous to that, but he wasn't with the Astros in 2017.
He wasn't banging on trash cans.
He wasn't in there. The one year he wasn't, he was gone working for the University of Missouri in 2017. So he's not tainted, Brian. He's not tainted. His philosophy is hit strikes hard. That's what I read. Now people say everybody should do that, but his philosophy comes from recognizing pitches. So we've got some different styles of what they do. So they do two different pitching machines in BP, fastballs.
This is under his
watch, what they've been doing, especially in the minors, and now with the major leagues, it's going to be coming to the major league squad. Two different pitching machines in batting practice, and it's not so much of the show in batting practice anymore where you're just lobbing them in there. You're getting faster pitches and curveballs and fastballs, so you don't know what's coming. And in normal batting practices, you know, when you're working on things, using colored balls, where players have to recognize the pitches and say what color the ball was. Not color balls, but dots on the balls.
So you get blue.
So instead of
red.
And the whole thing translates back to pitch recognition. So you're not only hitting the ball hard, but you're hitting the ball knowing what's coming.
I thought most of these guys just guess fastball. Just
I think the philosophy is if you can train yourself, you don't got much time, right?
No, I mean, the reflexes are insane.
But if you can train yourself to recognize pitch and tell yourself, I guess, what the pitch is coming by verbally doing it, maybe that works better.
That's kind of cool.
But they're also in the minors, they've been using the hit tracker, the blast motion sensors. And I noticed that when I went down to the Tampa this year and I saw the Martian, Jason Dominguez.
What do they do?
So they're things on the knobs of the bat on the bottom,
right?
And they track bat speed, exit velocity, launch angle, all that. Because I noticed it, he was swinging and the thing flew off. And he put it back on, and then it flew off on his next swing, and then he finally just chucked it in the dugout.
Screw it.
And I was like, oh, that's interesting. They're using those things. And I thought it was just him, and they were just doing it for him. And then I noticed they were on the other player. So that's all across the minors.
More
so
data.
Big on data, big on analytics. Now here we go to the nugget. So he played for 4 years at Transylvania State University.
Transylvania State. What's his name again? Dylan?
Dylan Lawson.
Never played pro ball?
Never played pro ball. He played first base and outfield for Transylvania State University. Where is that, Brian? Do you know where that is?
It's got to be Pennsylvania.
No, it's not. And it's not where the vampires live or anything like that. That's the first thing I think. Transylvania University.
Where is it?
It's in Lexington, Kentucky.
Is it in? So it's not in Transylvania.
It's not in Transylvania. Now they are the pioneers. They're not the bats or the wool or the werewolves.
The
or
Transylvania
anything like that.
University pioneers.
Now their logo, their mascot is a bat, and it's called the RAF. Bat RAF.
They have some branding issues.
Yeah.
I think.
So it's named after the founder Samuel Constantine Rafinesque, and he's actually buried in the administrative building. They dug his bones up. In Philadelphia.
And he was a vampire?
I don't know. He might be a vampire now because they dug him up and they buried him. It's like the whole thing is weird. So anyways, here's the nugget though. So I thought
That's not the nugget?
That's not the nugget. Okay. The nugget is I thought to myself, all right, so Transylvania University, we didn't even know where it was. It's kind of creepy. It's kind of weird. So I was thinking, what other major league players have went to Transylvania University?
And there are some?
And there are some. And the first one I found actually played for the Yankees.
Who?
And his name is Cy Barger.
In like 1922?
1902 to 1907.
There you go.
At 21 years old, he played for the Yankees.
How'd
he
do?
He was a pitcher. He played for 1 year, well, 2 years, 1906, 1907. For the Yankees, he had 5.1 innings pitched, 7 hits, 8 runs, 3 walks, 3 Ks. And he had 5 at-bats, 1 hit, and 2 Ks. So not your standout player.
No, but so he was in the show. Give me his name again.
His name was Cy Barger.
Cy Barger.
B-A-R-G-E-R. 1906 and 1907, he played for the New York Yankees. He went on to play for 15 years in the majors, just for random teams. But the Yankees never played for the Red Sox, but he did play for the Yankees.
Well, so Transylvania, the turn
so
of that century.
So that's two alumni on the Yankees now from Transylvania University.
There you go.
Coming if we do have the 2022 season.
That is some elite nuggetude. I'm into it. Yeah, I liked it a lot. All right, John. Thank you very much, John Senecal, Brian Shackman. This has been another edition, the 58th episode of Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. Watch us on YouTube, listen to us on Odyssey or wherever you enjoy your podcasts, and please share it with a friend and grow it because we like it and we want to keep doing it. Have a great one.